And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of We Got Next. I'm Ricky Hampton, along with Big Mo, former Milwaukee Bucks center, Paul Mokeski. Although he sported his 44 Golden State Warriors jersey tonight, man.
They're still alive. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
And Mo, we want to welcome everybody in tonight. We certainly welcome your questions and comments. And I know you guys got a lot of questions out there and comments.
Bring it on.
Because we're in full NBA playoff mode here, Mo. And honestly, man, I got a ton of questions for you, Paul, because I couldn't wait for us to get on the air tonight and discuss what's been going down in the NBA. And before we even get to the games, let's kind of take care of some of the controversy. But before I get that, I want to welcome everybody for sure. And don't forget, you can catch us on Bleav.com. That's Bleav.com, where you can get this and all our past shows. And more of the comments are already filling up. And we just come on the air.
We haven't started yet. Why you guys make me out to be the bad guy, man? Why does all the media make me be the bad guy?
Let's start, because I mean, you had a reputation of being a physical player during your playing days. It was a physical league, and you were in more than your fair share of dust ups. When you see what's going on with some of these guys today, what goes through your mind when you see some of the ejections you see today, and just some of the animosity that takes place in a heated playoff game? What goes through your mind?
Finally, there's some passion in the game. Finally, there's people that show that they want to win. Finally, they're not all buddy-buddy all the time. Because let's face it, all the hugs and all the handshakes and changing jerseys, are you kidding me? So I'm going to go out and I'm going to battle Bill Laimbeer or Bill Cartwright, and then after the game we're going to exchange jerseys? Get the hell out of here. I mean, come on. And, it's interesting to me how, little things are blown up now. And, obviously there's tons more coverage. There's like 20 more cameras in the arenas. There's replays out the wazoo. Replay this, replay that. Every player knows how to do this, right? Every player knows how to do this, and every player wants to do that. But good. There's some physicality and passion in the playoffs. Good. However, Dylan, like, let's talk about Dylan Brooks. Come on, man. Come on, man. Be real. You instigated all this stuff, not the media. You did. You've been playing that way for years. I mean, this is just one little cup check, into the groin area, and LeBron acted like he was dead. I mean, and then like a minute later, he slammed dunk, he hit his head on the rim. But, for him to blame the media is a joke. And he talked about poking the bear, LeBron's an old man, and all that. That's fair. I think it's stupid. I mean, who in my day would say, you know what, Larry Bird's getting old. You know what, MJ can't jump as high as he used to. Shut up. I mean, in a playoff series? Never, ever. And now you're going to blame the media for making you a bad guy? Guess who has the most technicals in the league this year? Dylan Brooks, 18. Guess who's ejected three times this year? Dylan Brooks. Guess who has arguments and situations with the Golden State Warriors? Dylan Brooks. Guess who has it against the Lakers? Dylan Brooks. Hey, come on, man. You know what? Own up to it. Back in the day, Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman, and even later, Lance Stephenson, they owned up to it. Own up to it, man. Don't blame the media. You're doing what you think can help the team best win a series. Good for you. That's good. But don't blame it on the media. That's a joke to me. Your words and your actions made you the villain, which is fine. Play the villain then. I mean, come on. You know, Bill Laimbeer played it to the hilt and won championships with it. Dennis Rodman, do you remember the footage of Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone going at each other, kicking each other on the ground? I mean, you know.
Hey, Mo. Yeah, him going in on LeBron like that, if you were a coach or a teammate, would you say anything about that? And I love the way LeBron handled it. I mean, the man's 38 years old. He was not fazed by that at all.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to have any more kids anymore, so he's okay. If I was a young player. But, you know, back in the day, that was off limits. Anymore, it should be. But, you know, really, if you watch that and you watch the Harden situation, I think that's, you know, I don't think he purposely did it, maybe a little bit. But, you know, that's how you defend your arms go out sometimes. And same with Harden. Harden's situation is he was dribbling and he pushed his hand out, which he does all the time. He just happened to hit somebody in the hoo-haws.
Yeah. But as his teammate, they just won a game at home to tie it up at 1-1, and that's when he's, you know, going in on LeBron. Would you tell him to chill out? Or?
Absolutely. I would have told – first of all, I would have said it before the series started. They should have had the coaches and the players and everybody have a meeting and say, listen, you know, we're in a battle. We can win this battle. We just need to take care of stuff on the basketball court and don't give anybody, any player, any team, any more incentive to beat us. That's the way it used to be. That's the way, like Don Nelson told us, you know, we went through, man, 5 years or whatever I played for Nelly, we went through the playoff series every year, 2, 3, 4 series. You know, if we win, hey, you know, we played good, maybe got a little lucky. They played not as good. They'll probably play better next game. You talk like that. That's how you talk. I mean, I'll tell you, here's a story right down this alley. We were playing the Boston Celtics in the second round, I think. And we went into Boston and we stole game 2. And Paul Pressey, who those out there don't know, Paul Pressey, 6'6", 6'7", really long arm, good defender, really great defender, a point forward type guy. And Nelly put him on Larry Bird. And he did a good job. Larry got 22 or whatever, but he didn't get 30 or 35. So he did a good job. And then for some reason, somebody said, you know what? We got Larry. We got Paul Pressey. He's a Bird stopper. He's a Bird stopper. And that was in every headline of the Boston media, every headline. So the next game, Larry comes into Milwaukee. We're 1-1 now. And Larry comes into Milwaukee and lights us up for a 40. And all the time, even in the first quarter, he's looking at Don Nelson. He's looking on the bench. And he's looking at Paul Pressey. He said, this guy is not a Bird stopper. Just watch this. Bam. Hey, you better get this Bird stopper off me. He can't stop me. Bam.
You're kidding me, Mo.
He came down one time and he said, you know what? This Bird stopper guy? Hey, Paul Pressey, I'm going to shoot right from this spot next time down and shoot a 3 right in your face. Came down, pushed off, bam. So you keep your mouth shut and you try to win the series. Especially, you know, maybe an inexperienced team like the Cavs or, you know, someone that hasn't been there. You know, maybe you could throw them off their game a little bit, but not LeBron James. Come on, man. Come on.
I mean, he's too smart for that, man. Once you say anything about him, he is too smart. That is so hilarious about that.
Oh, that's true. That's a true story, man. I was there. Had a front row seat. I mean, don't poke the bear, man. Why would you? You know, that's like going up to a hornet's nest and poking it. Why would you do that?
I think this is the one on Embiid. Now we got Embiid.
Now this is a kick to the groin right there. I don't know how he's not ejected from the game and suspended. I don't understand that. And this was the day after Draymond stumped. This was the day after that. How can you watch this and not eject him from the game and suspend him later? This was a blatant kick of Embiid. The guy walked over him. That's a T. Then he reached, the guy walked over him. Don't do that. He walked over him. But now this is a blatant kick to the groin right there. He just missed the groin and hit him in the thigh. What if he would have hit him in the groin? And here's a problem, too. See, this young guy right here, who is this? I can't remember his name.
Claxton.
Claxton. So he's too young, right? So if this happens, he should have went down and laid down and stayed down and made him get a stretcher to take you off. And then you get him ejected. That's the truth, man. That's the truth. You saw what LeBron did, right? He laid on the ground forever. That's what this kid should have done, and I guarantee you Embiid would have been kicked out of that game.
Yeah, now here's the one with Draymond Green and Sabonis.
Who is tied with Dylan Brooks for the most technicals, 18 for the season, by the way. So he and Draymond are in the same boat, and they both have the same thing going. Draymond's been doing it for longer, but that's it. That's his role. That's his stick. That's how he stays in the league. He's a good player, great passer, good defender. Can't really score, but he stirs up things. Now here's the problem. So he did this stomp, and then he instigated almost a riot in Sacramento, and that's what got him suspended, I think, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, he's stepping over the dude, and if he wouldn't have stopped there and would have just stepped, actually after the stomp, right there, he tries to he kicked his feet up so he doesn't step on him. So, that's a flagrant too. You kick out of the game. But if he doesn't do this at the end and almost instigate a riot with Adam Silver, the commissioner of the league, by the way, in the stands, then I don't think he gets suspended. But and if I'm the Warriors, remember in 2016 or whenever it was, he got suspended game 5 and they lost that series to the Cavs. I'm going to remind him that.
Yeah.
Listen, we can't do this, man, because if you watched the game last night, which the Warriors got lucky and won, and Draymond had a good game, he blocked someone's shot. I think it was Sabonis. And then kind of stood there and screamed and stared at him. That should be a T. He's lucky that didn't happen. I mean, why are you still doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going over all of these games, but I just wanted to, my gosh, I want to get to some. Let's get to some of these comments before we get to the games, Mo.
Yep, let's do it.
My man, I got. Let's start. Chris Ramsey's checking in, saying, "Hey guys, Draymond Green incident, Dylan Brooks." We like you, Paul. Come on, Mo had a jump shot too. Come on, Mo. You're right. When I talked about the physical part, Steve, I know Big Mo had a jumper. And Chris is asking, how about the Sun series? Chris, hang with us. We're about to get to all of that.
That's a great series, Chris. Chris, that's a great series. Injuries are playing a role, but we'll talk that in a little bit, Chris. Hang on.
Chris says Brooks knew what he was doing.
Sure, that's what he does. He's been doing it for years. Of course he did. Yeah, I don't know. I think if I'm thinking as a player, he's like, oh, I'm going to get him off me, and hey, that's right in the area. Cup check.
Coach Mo, did you play with Marcus Johnson?
Yes. Yeah, Steve. When I first got to Milwaukee, it was Bob Lanier, Marcus Johnson, Brian Winters, Junior Bridgman, Sidney Moncrief, Harvey Catchings, just a great group. And Marcus, in my opinion, and we know that a White Man Can't Jump reboot is coming out this month. I'm excited for that. But Marcus Johnson was in the first one. He was the crazy guy that on a pickup game went back and try to rob the liquor store to get some money. But Marcus, to me, is one of the underrated forwards, small forwards that ever played. Marcus had all the skills, went to UCLA, could score, rebound, great athlete. He was overshadowed because he was playing in an era in the East when Larry Bird and Dominique Wilkins were playing too. So he got overlooked a lot. But he's one of the most talented players I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to run him down, Mo, and and get him on the show one
for week. Sure. Yep, we will.
Sebastian Roque. Hey, Sebastian. Agree with you on Embiid, Paul. Double standard, even within the same game. The kick was worse than Green's stomp or Harden's backhand slap.
Yeah, I agree, Sebastian. I mean, and I kind of agree. Some people brought this up. They didn't eject Embiid. And then later on, Harden got ejected for the cup check punch. And that might have been a layover call. We could say makeup call. That might have been a makeup call on that. But I agree totally that Embiid's actions were 10 times worse than Harden's. And in my opinion, probably a little bit worse than Draymond's. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, and man, we appreciate all you guys' comments.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, man.
Keep them coming. And Mo, but we're going to break these games down, but one of the big a big Mo-ism, tell me who is healthy, and I will tell you who's going to win. We got a lot of that going on in these playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, you got Fox right now has
available. Who's available? Who's available? Yeah. You know,
yeah. Now Fox has a fracture to his index finger on his shooting hand, Mo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how bad the break is. I mean, there are different kinds of breaks in your fingers. I've broken probably all my fingers. You know, there's some that. You know, you split it up. You know, you can play. It's harder on the. It's not only the shooting hand; it's his passing hand also, and also it's catching the ball. I find out a lot of people that hurt their hands or fingers, they can kind of get through with shooting and passing a little bit, maybe pass left-handed, but catching that ball, you got to really kind of angle it. But it depends on how bad it is, and it sounds like it might be bad enough to, like, maybe after the season. You know, it's time to do a surgery and insert a pin or something, which is more than just a, I guess I would say, a regular break. And that hurts. You know, that hurts them bad.
And Clippers and Suns, that had the makings of a really good series. Suns are up 3-1 now. Kawhi Leonard hadn't played the last two games. Paul George hadn't played at all. And it's no surprise the Clippers have lost those last two games.
Yeah, I'm telling you, with the Phoenix Suns, when they picked up KD without giving up their core three of Chris Paul and Booker and Ayton, I mean, they have, I would say, probably the best starting five that's in there, I think. I mean, you know, I like the Celtics, but, you know, Allen and Marcus are kind of weak links. I like the Bucks, but, you know, they have a couple weak links, too, in their starters, per se. But, you know, Clippers, I mean, if I'm the owner of the Clippers and I'm a bomber and I just spent, I know I'm a billionaire, okay, I know that, but damn, I just spent hundreds of millions of dollars to win a championship and, you know, Paul George can't play because he's hurt and then Kawhi can't play because he hurt his knee or low management, whatever you want to say. I mean, if I'm him and I know he's a gung-ho cheering guy, he's always waving his arms, I'm going to go on a meeting with these. I'm going to weigh my. I pay you all this money. You guys got to play in the playoffs, man. I mean, you know, when you're injured, you're injured. And I tell people in any sport, there's people that are hurt and people that are injured. Those are two different things. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's knee hurts. Everyone's back hurts. Everyone's shoulder hurts. Everyone's feet hurt. But if you're injured, that means you have an injury that you can't play, or you're going to hurt yourself more if you play. So those are two different things, and only the people that have those things can tell you what they are, and you have to trust them. You know, so I'm not saying that they're not injured, but at the same time, when you have a history of load management, then that becomes a question. If I'm an owner, I mean, he bought the team for $3 billion, and now he's spending $300 million a year. Come on, man. You got one of the best rosters out there, but remember what I said, availability, if you're not available, doesn't look as good on paper.
Hey, Mo, I, you know, like you said, you can't. If a guy says he's hurt, You gotta take his word at that. But that said, with a guy like Kawhi, would you like to see, Coach, let me give it a shot.
Yes. Back in the day, all of us, but especially stars, you know, if they're hurt, like if Sidney Moncrief is 70%, that's better than 80% of the league. That's better than, you know, almost all the guys on the – so, you know, when I played, you know, if someone had an injury and they're 60% or 70%, what they would do is they would – unless it was, you know, a broken ankle or something like that, they would say, you know, if it was a hamstring or a back or, you know, let me go out there, warm up. If it feels okay, I'm going to try it. And then if not, I'll tell you. I mean, come on, man. After 1 minute, I'm going to look at the bench and say, nope. And then you take them out and you sit them down and you at least try.
Yeah, I think of Isaiah playing on his ankle that was like that. I mean,
Sidney Moncrief played in the Boston Celtics series on a torn arch of his foot. I've seen people get shot up to give it a try. I got shot up on my ribs to give it a try and my knee. Pay for it now, but wouldn't change a thing. But, you know, at some point you're in the playoffs, and especially, you know, hey, let me, if I'm 70% and my, you know, my hamstring's a little sore, let me really stretch it out. And you know what happens then? Start me. And then if I'm going good, let me stay in. Don't take me out, because once you take me out, I'm probably done until the first, second half. And then I'll go through the process again. You know, but I mean, at this point, you know, and I know if I'm a teammate and I see you giving it a try, that makes me one and two more too. So, but we're in different times, Ricky, you know.
And who will forget, you know, Willis Reed coming out. And to your point, Mo, I think he played 5 minutes that night. Yep. Two shots.
Yep.
But his mere presence fired everybody up. I played
with Bob Lanier in his last 2 years in the league. His knees were knees of an 80-year-old. He had no cartilage. His tendons were screwed up. When I had a knee injury and I went to the Bucks doctor and he took the MRI, he said, you know, your ACL's messed up. And he showed me Bob's MRI. He said, at least you're not this guy. But what Bob never practiced at all. During the training camp, he would practice one time during the morning, and then he would just rest and ice. And he would never practice, and he would just play in games because that's all I could give. I got 25, 30 minutes for you, coach, and I could do it in the game. So, and that's what he did. And we all respected him for it.
Yeah. Hey, just an update. After three quarters, the Bucks, who need this, they're down 2-1 in Miami. They're up 89-78. Giannis, who's been favoring his back some, he's got 23 points, 10 rebounds in 27 minutes. But Brooke Lopez has been terrific, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 3 of 6 from the three-point line. And
three block shots.
Yeah, he's a great defender. And Jimmy Butler's doing his thing for Miami. But that's really just about it tonight. Duncan Robinson continues to shoot it well. He's got 9 points, 3 or 4 from the three-point line. But they aren't letting him get that shot off as much tonight.
Well, that's a great example of, you know, Hero went down with a broken hand. And, you know, Duncan Robinson, who signed that big contract, has been sitting for the last half of the season. But he stayed ready. I think he had 23 last game. So he's, you know, he's stepping up. But and there's Giannis, right? We just talked about it. Giannis's back is not 100%. It's probably 70. But thank you for the 70. I'll take that all day.
Yeah. Oh, boy, Chris brought up a great name, Bernard King.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'll tell you what. And, Chris, you're right on point because his knees were bad. His knee exploded 1 year and he came back. But I remember – 1 year against the Pistons, that he had like, I think he had 50 and 52 in back and backs at old Joe Louis Arena, I think. And he had like two or three broken fingers all his fingers were wrapped up.
Yeah. And Mo, it wasn't like he was jumping out of the gym or anything, but what was his deal? He had the quick release.
Knew how to use his body, knew how to get to his place on the court where he was effective. And he had that high shot release that he could block, but he knew how to use his body, you know, to get off shots. And he had a great touch. Great touch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one, Chris. Thank you, man, for that. So, I like it if Giannis continues to be able to play, they're going to win this series. They're going to win this game tonight. And I think they're going to win this series.
But that would be nice. They're up 12 right now. 11.
Yeah, but I'm sure you got to be concerned with his back acting up. I guess as a player, that's probably the worst thing to have.
Yeah, but here's the advantage they have. So he just fell on the ground again, landing on his back. But anyway, so here's the advantage in today's game, right? So they're going to play tonight, hopefully win. Then they're probably going to have wheels up on their private plane at 11:30 after the game. And then he's going to be iced, massaged, stimulated with electrons on the airplane. Then when he lands in Milwaukee, someone will probably go home with him and do treatment all through the night. You know, and then he'll come to practice tomorrow and not practice, just kind of watch and, you know, get treatment. So, you know, there's a big advantage of, you know, the way that they travel now. It's huge. You know, I mean, back in the day, you'd have to get a flight tomorrow morning. You'd be on with a regular flight, maybe get first class, you know, which isn't that much room anyway. And, you know, so it's you know, it's a big, big advantage for them now.
Yeah. Let's go to that one. Now let's go back and look at I want to go through all of these games. Let's kind of get Philly and Brooklyn out of the way. Just your quick thoughts on that. That was what a disastrous year for the Nets, although this current group did about as well as you could do considering what all it went on, but this is not what Brooklyn had in mind when they opened the season up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were like the stuff with Harden and Simmons went on, right?
Yeah.
That went on first. Then they still had Kyrie. Simmons couldn't play because he's hurt, as usual. And then KD. And then they were in like the third or fourth spot, kind of. And then they traded Harden, one of their best players. Then they traded KD, one of their best players, the best player. Then they traded Kyrie, their best player. I mean, all these trades. And that the team, give them credit and get John Vaughn credit, that they held on to at least the sixth seed. They didn't have a plan. Didn't have to do that. And they battled and they played. And some guys that were traded in that trade stepped up and proved their value, and it's going to help them contractual-wise. And they have a base now with some first-round draft picks that they can build on instead of the fiasco damn circus that they had going on ever since Harden, Kyrie, and KD came. We don't need a coach. We'll coach ourselves. I'm sitting out. I'm not getting vaccinated. Blah, 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 blah. And now at least they have some semblance of logic. We got to add a couple more players. You know, next year we held on to the sixth seed. We get, you know, fourth seed, home court, all that. At least there's hope. I mean, how crazy is it that you had three of the best players in basketball, and now that they're gone, it seems like a storm cloud has been erased from over your heads. You can actually breathe instead of the idiot stuff those guys were saying, and just the travesty of it all. Just a disaster for the Nets all around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Philly's going to be waiting. Their odds are they're going to play the Celtics. They're 3-1 on the Hawks. And I was surprised the Hawks won one game, but usually a team will be able to get one. But I don't see them as a serious threat to the Celtics.
No, they got the fourth game, right?
Yeah, they won the fourth game.
So the Celtics were in Atlanta for 3 days. Not saying anything, but, you know, there's some nice clubs there and some stuff goes on. But either way, you know, Trae Young is phenomenal. I still like Capella at the big spot.
They won the third game. They won the third game.
Oh, okay.
The Hawks won the third game.
Yeah. But, you know, I Boston has – and they have talent, and they had talent, and they added to that. Brogdon is a great addition to them. They added another big body, so you know, they're going to be tough to beat. Here's the key: if I'm Boston, we need to win tomorrow. We need to get this series over because guess what? Philly's doing. They are resting. They are resting and preparing for you. They're getting their scout reports down, their video sessions down. Everybody that needs treatment is getting it. People that are a little hurt or banged up are getting healed up, and they're waiting. So if you Atlanta come in and sneak another game out, which is going to extend the series another game in 2 days, that's bad. That's bad for you. So because you know what's going to happen in the Philly-Boston series. It's going to be a knockdown, drag out, bang them up, a seven-game series. And players are going to get hurt, and players are going to get banged up, and it's going to be a tough, tough grind, which hopefully it's good for the Bucks if they can come out of their series, because then they'll be waiting on that series. But, you know, that Philly-Boston series is going to be something. Both teams are talented. Both teams are deep. You know what, though? People already talk about this, but Boston has a young coach of 34, 35 years old that's done a great job, but Doc Rivers has been there before, gentlemen. And he has the advantage as a coach. So it's going to be a really good series. But
and playoffs, as we talked about on a previous show, is really where you can see the impact of quality coaching.
Absolutely. Adjustments in game, after game, before game. Also, not adjusting. You know, sometimes coaches panic. You lose a game in a playoff series, and you're like, oh no, what if we gotta change this, we gotta change that. No, you have to evaluate exactly how you lost that game, and exactly was it our coverages, was it our strategy, or was it just mental mistakes we made? How did we lose that game? You know, if we lost the game because of coverages and we gotta change that, fine, we'll do it. But if we just lost the game because of a couple bad breaks, and we're right there, we're doing the right things, you don't want to change things. And inexperienced coaches will lean towards changing things when they lose a game.
Yeah. And, you know, the Celtics, Grant Williams who's a role player, but one of the important role players. He hadn't played much lately. Derek White's numbers have gone up during the playoffs, so they – Williams didn't play the other night, so they are they're in good shape. Brogdon was a good addition for this team coming over.
Also, Allen the third, the big guy.
Yeah.
I watched the other game, and an important part of the game.
You mean Williams? No, you mean Robert Williams?
Williams the third. Yeah.
13-15 the other day, yesterday.
I saw him block a shot, save a ball from going out of bounds that led to a three-pointer. He's doing all the intangibles, you know, that player needs in that situation. And I mean, if you look at Tatum, Brown, Brogdon, Derek White, and Marcus Smart, and then you got Horford, Williams III, G. Williams, you know, and then you have Muscala, Blake Griffin's on the bench. I mean, that's a deep, deep team, you know?
Chris, Ricky, who you got going to the finals? And Paul, Chris wants to know who we got going to the finals. Mo is the expert, Chris, but I will give you that 2 cents. How do you see this playing out, Mo?
I mean, I think
it's still depending on who's going to be available.
Yeah, I mean, it's injuries, who's available. Things can change in the series. But if you're looking at what we have now in the East, you have Boston, Philly, and then the Bucks. But they got to get past Miami, right? But if Miami beats the Bucks, I don't see them being a threat. If Miami beats the Bucks in this series, whoever wins the Philly-Boston series, minus some traumatic injury, they will go to the finals and have a good chance of winning it. So I would pick any one of those three because they're all deep. They all have experience, you know. So pick one. Of course, I want the Bucks. We know that. In the East, you know, Denver is really starting to play well. They're starting to feel their game and play their game. I know Minnesota got one the other night. Thank you, Chris Finch. But Denver's really stepping up their game. Jamal Murray looks like the old Jamal Murray when I watched that game. But I like Phoenix. Phoenix, man, if they stay healthy. But, you know, Chris Paul has a tendency to get hurt in the playoffs. So I would say Denver or Phoenix coming out of the West. And one of those other big three coming out of the East. And then hopefully my Bucks win it all. But I know, here's my deal. I text Steve Kerr. So if the Bucks and the Warriors are in the finals, he's got me tickets for their home game. So I'm open for that.
Nice. Hey, Mo, as you talked about, Chris likes Philly as a sleeper. Yeah, I do too. And I really want to put Milwaukee out. I'm very concerned about Giannis.
Yeah.
If he is able to fight through this, I think they will find a way to get to the finals. And I like Denver in the West. Because teams are going to have to go into Denver and play them. And, Paul, is that Mile High is that real?
It's real, but it's not as prevalent in the playoffs. Because here's the deal. And you'll notice on Denver's home court, they have, what's their altitude, 3,500 feet, something like that. That's on the court, right by the free throw line. It's on the court. Look for it. Their altitude is on the court. It's written on the court. Right on the free throw lines.
They want you to know.
Yeah, they want you to know. It's in the locker room too, by the way. They used to have signs in the locker room, but you are 1 mile high and be careful with your breathing because it's difficult up here. So it is, but it's less so in the playoffs because here's the deal with altitude that I learned over the years. With altitude, if you go play in Denver, what you want to do is you want to get there like the day of the game and play, or at least two games before where you can get adjusted to it, have practice, get some running in, get your lungs used to it, or get in and out before it affects you too much. So in the playoffs, you know, you're going to be there one or two games before, so altitude is going to have less. Now, it depends on the coach because I know, you know, as a coaching staff, I would say, you know what, if we play on Friday and we get there on Wednesday, a lot of times we'll practice at home on Wednesday, fly to Denver for Friday evening, and then practice Thursday and play Friday. Wednesday, practice Thursday, play Friday. What I would want to do is I want to leave my town Wednesday morning, get to Denver, practice Wednesday, a good afternoon practice where we could run, we sprint, get runs, full court shooting, blow it out. Everybody runs, everybody gets tired, everybody's got sweat going, and then on Thursday, we're going to have just a regular toned down practice, and then we should be ready to play Friday. That's what I would do. But it's real. I'll tell you how it's real. When we played in Denver, I remember one game when I was with the Bucks, when Marcus Johnson was there, by the way, and we had a high-scoring team, and I think the final score was like 160 to 155 or something. I remember playing in that game, and then, like, after about 6 minutes, there's some mystery call. Like, there's no foul. No, what? Why? There's no foul at both teams. And then we go to the free throw line, and I look at the ref, and it's one of the refs that's been around a while, and I'm like, where was the foul? He goes, here's a foul. Yeah, there's a foul. He was blowing a whistle just to get a breath.
Oh, you are kidding me.
Oh, absolutely.
That is hilarious, man. Hey, Mo, before we get to the next game, I got to mention your old pal who bit the dust. It does not pay to be a coach of the year in Toronto.
Or anywhere.
You're going to get fired right after that. Dwayne Casey, coach of the year, gone. Nick Nurse, coach of the year, NBA champ, gone. Your thoughts on Toronto moving on from Nick Nurse?
Avery Johnson, coach of the year, gone. It happens all the time. It's what you've done this year and what you're going to do for me lately. That's nothing. That's just the coaching business. And you know, Nick Nurse did a great job, in my opinion. Did a great job, but won a championship because they rented Kawhi Leonard for a year. Right? He was only there for a year. And if he doesn't make that shot from the corner over Embiid and it bounces 8 times and goes in, Nick Nurse probably fired last year. But he wins the championship, did a great job holding that team together. But really, the team is not, without Kawhi, they're not what they were. They traded some assets away. So, you know, sometimes it's time to move on. But I think he had a 57% winning percentage, which is phenomenal in the NBA. So he'll get another job here pretty quickly. And, you know, that's the coaching business, man. That's, I tell you, you're hired to get fired unless you're Popovich or Phil Jackson or someone like that. You're just hired to be fired. You're going to be fired.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting. We've got some coaching jobs open up. The coaching job here in Detroit is open.
Houston is closed.
With the Pistons.
The Rock is hired in Udoka from
That went down? Okay.
Yeah, they hired him. Yep.
Okay, and I'm trying to get a score from the
101-89.
So Milwaukee's in pretty good shape.
Stop saying that. Stop saying that.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mo. That's the old coach in you.
Yes, absolutely. We're up by 20 with 2 minutes left. Be quiet. This game's not over yet.
I get that. I get that.
I mean, it's a 12-point lead with 5 minutes left. We've seen that happen. We'll have the Warriors. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Now it's a 10-point lead, by the way.
Another interesting series. Excitement is back in the Garden, mode. The Knicks. I thought this would be a little closer series, but right now the Knicks are in control. They're 3-1 on the Cavaliers, and Jalen Brunson has just been marvelous for them, leading that team. He had 29 points yesterday. As they took a 3-1 lead over the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell struggled yesterday, only 11 points. They're not going to win. 5 of 18 shooting. Coach Thibodeau is known for his defense, and they did a number on Mitchell yesterday to take a 3-1 lead in that series.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson's just showing his value. He's becoming a star right before our eyes. And he did it in the playoffs with the Mavs, a while back. But the Mavs didn't believe it, I guess, and let him go. But, and Julius Randle is having a good series. And, they've got an old school coach that I think he sat Randle at the end of the fourth quarter because he wasn't playing defense, and they won the game. So, It's good to have the Knicks back in it, in the Garden. And, now the Bucks have a 6-point lead because you opened your mouth, Ricky.
I'm sorry. I'm sure they'll finish it.
We got problems now. But it's so neat to see the Garden electrified, though. You know? It's the only old building left,
Yeah.
And I love the old buildings. The old Boston Garden, the L.A. Forum, all those old arenas, but they're all gone now except the Boston Garden, New York Garden. So.
Yeah, and Madison Square Garden, I mean, there's nothing special about it. I mean, it's special, but it's, it's the Garden.
It's special because because of the surroundings. It's special because the way you get to the locker rooms, you get off the bus, you go in this big old elevator that the week before there were probably elephants and tigers in there, and it smells like crap. And then you go out there, and then you go into a teeny weeny locker room. But then you come out of the locker room and you go through the tunnel, and there's the garden with the banners and the circular seats, and you know, and the old floor. It's just special. And you're in New York, and you know, I had one of my best games there at 23-15 in that, and I guess Patrick Ewing, and you know, just the feel, you know.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking about this before we went on air, Paul. You are a Vegas resident. Steve Schroeder, Oakland A's coming to Vegas. Your thoughts, Paul? You got Major League Baseball coming.
Well, I think I got mixed feelings. You know, we have the Raiders here now, the Golden Knights here, who are in a battle in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have, I think an NBA is coming in the next 3 years. I think LeBron's going to be part of that group. And they're actually building a new arena, casino, hotel, right down the street from us, Ricky. You saw our house. It's going to be right down the street. It's going to be probably 2 or 3 years, 20,000-seat arena. But they have T-Mobile, it seats 20,000 right now. It's NBA ready. And the new A's, the A's just made a commitment for land across the freeway from the T-Mobile arena. And it's a plot of land there right off the freeway. It's a good spot. And it actually makes a triangle between T-Mobile and then where the Oakland A's would be. And then Allegiant Stadium is just down, it's probably 2 miles away. So it's all in the same area.
I can see where it could be some mixed feelings for you because you play in the Bay Area. I mean, your Warriors jersey is right there. And you know the Oakland area well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the fans, but let's be truthful, right? The Warriors fans are showing up. You know, the A's fans are not. I think last year they had 3,000 at a game or something like that. So if you can't have fans show up, you know, then, you know, you kind of give credence for a team to leave. And I know the A's played exhibition games here this fall, and they were so happy with. There's a really nice stadium here for minor league. Only holds about 10,000. Beautiful field, beautiful locker rooms, beautiful dugout. And after that, the A's were saying this is better than our home in Oakland, which that's a bad sign. The fear I have is, number one, they're going to have to win for Vegas people to come out. Number two, how many home games are there in a baseball season? 80? Yeah, that's a lot to have fans come out when there's so much to do. I mean, there's so much to do in Vegas. So, but someone when I was out to dinner with someone the other day who's a baseball fan, he's all excited. And I said, are you going to buy season tickets? He said, yeah, I'm buying season tickets to see the other teams and the other players.
Yeah.
So I get to see Boston or all those teams come into play. I get to see them.
So you think it's inevitable that the NBA comes?
Yeah, I said that years ago, and I still hold to that. I said it 4 years ago, it'd take 5 years. I think it's going to take another 3. But the NBA works in a logical manner. They have a WNBA team here, the Aces, that have done great. They won a championship. They have 8,000 fans every game. Then they have the G League's Ignite, the young team for the G League. They play here in a 6,000 seat arena, and they've done well. So that's the test phase for the NBA. And you know, I think within 3 years, it's inevitable that the NBA team will be out here.
Okay, man, we're heading down the home stretch here, just like.
Which, by the way, the Bucks are losing by one now, Ricky.
Oh my goodness, man! I should have kept my mouth
closed. Oh, dude, you're the freaking media jinx. You know?
I'm the Spike Lee of.
You are.
I'm the Spike Lee of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Giannis to the basket for an England. Okay. feel a little better, but come on, just don't say anything to me.
Hey, Mo, one more series to get to. We kind of touched on it earlier. They tip off in a few minutes. The Lakers and the Grizzlies.
And they're playing in Memphis, right?
Lakers up 2-1.
Yeah. Oh, they're playing in L.A.
And they're in L.A., yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what happens, but, I mean, I picked the Lakers to win this series with Steven Adams out, and then Ja Morant got hurt. He's playing, but he's hurt. And I think the Lakers have momentum, and they have. And guess who? Someone gave them a little incentive, to put on their bulletin board. And they have Reeves is playing well. They have the backup players now that they can win a series, which they didn't have before the trade deadline.
Yeah. Well, man, we'll just close this thing down early so we can watch the ending of this game.
Yeah. We only got holiday for three. There we go.
A couple of minutes now. Mo, we may have to do a special edition, man, because these playoffs are so hot and heavy. But we certainly appreciate everybody checking in with us throughout the evening. Chris saying, thank guys. Oh, thank you, buddy. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Let's get out of here, Mo, and watch the end of the game. Great conversation. And thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a few days. For Rick Hampton and Paul Mokeski, take care. Peace, everybody.
Come on, Bucks. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done, Bucks.